I'd like to invite you to turn with me this morning in our second study in the life of Joseph to Genesis chapter 39. Last week we spent some time in chapter 37, and now today, continuing in the story of Joseph, we turn to chapter 39. Chapter 38 deals with Judah and Tamar. And that is a different story. To get the story of Joseph, we continue with chapter 39. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, inviting you to follow along in your copy of the Scriptures as I read. Genesis chapter 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and saw how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came about after these events that the master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." May I remind you, this is God's Word. May I remind all of us that it's still relevant. It's still just as critical and crucial as it was in the days in which it was written. Oh, Father, may Your Word speak to each of our hearts right where we are, in a way that only You can speak through the power of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the way that You have inspired it and preserved it for us. And we pray that we may come to see the importance and the value of that Word for our daily lives, for Your glory, for Your praise, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Now be honest with me. Every person here, at some time or another, has made the comment, "I'd rather be flying over Atlanta, not driving through it." Or, "I'd rather be fishing." Or, maybe there's some person that you would rather be. "If only I could have this," or "if only I could be that, then I could be all that God wants me to be." If only. If only I could be free of all the headaches and the problems and the schedule. If only. It'd be a lot easier to work in Vacation Bible School. If only. And yet there are some people that I am sure are sitting within the range of my voice who would honestly say, "There's no place I'd rather be than right here." Or you might be one who would say, "There's no person I'd rather be than what God has made me as I am. I wouldn't trade places with anybody." Honestly, I cannot help but think back and wonder what Joseph was thinking during all the process of time when his brothers turned against him, after having that great multicolored tunic given to him by his father, and then he was in a pit, later in a slave caravan on the way to Egypt. When he was on the slave block in Egypt, when he wound up in Potiphar's household as a slave, remembering that his father had honored him and made him exempt from slave duties. And now he's back as a slave. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's go back to the story of Joseph and come to this chapter 39 and see what we can learn about Joseph and his perspective on his situation. As I mentioned earlier, chapter 39 takes up where Genesis 37, 36 leaves off. And chapter 38 is in between that, giving the story of Judah and Tamar, which we'll talk about later. But chapter 39 brings us right into a very interesting place, in the very palatial surroundings of the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. You could summarize it very quickly with just a few words. Chapter 39, verses 1 and 2 primarily show how Joseph was protected, even though he had been sold by his brothers, even though he is in a slave position. We also discover that he is prospered. He's very successful. Even though he might rather be doing something else, he was faithful in serving where he was, and God prospered him. Verses 3 through 6 show how he is promoted and brought to a very high place and a very high position. It was all a part of the plan and purpose of God working in his life. And in the midst of all of that, when things really seem to be going well, verse 7 shows how he is propositioned by an ungodly lady. And we'll learn something more of that next week. But let's look at it just carefully and understand some of the things that happened in Joseph's life as we find him protected in verses 1 and 2. You know, there are two things that are obviously missing. Number one, there's no indication of how long this period of time was. And second, there is no mention of the adjustments that Joseph had to make. Adjustments in going from being that favored son to now being in Potiphar's house. He had come from a situation of a loving and doting father and privileges that exempted him from the menial day-to-day tasks, and now he's into a situation where he has to do what somebody else tells him to. He has to obey the commands of Pharaoh's chief executioner, take care of his menial duties. But there's some key statements that you don't want to miss in these first couple of verses. Notice with me the statement that the Lord was with Joseph so that he became a successful man. Think of that in a very practical way, those of you working with VBS this next week. Think about the Lord being with you so you will have success in your ministry. Whatever level, wherever you may be serving, whoever you may meet in that group of kids that comes, even the ones that may be little terrors, as sometimes little kids can be, and yet, if the Lord is with you, you can be successful. The word successful means to bring to completion your purpose and your meaning. What purpose does God have for us in this VBS? What purpose does God have for you in your job tomorrow? Even if you are retired and retreaded in some new fashion, what's God wanting to do in your life? It was said of Joseph that the Lord was with him so that he became a successful man. But don't miss the second statement that goes along with it. His master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. It was obvious that this was something supernatural. I mean, this is just a kid that's been dragged out of his homeland and brought through the slave market. And it was obvious to the master that something was different. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all he did to prosper in his hand. But don't miss the third key feature. Verse 5. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Joseph, faithfully serving, brought God's blessing on the whole house of the Egyptian, so much so that he was specially honored. I love the words of Psalm 138 in verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Though thou wilt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of my hands. Whatever labor, whatever work you and I may be doing over this next week, we can rest in the comfort of knowing that even if we walk in the midst of trouble, God will revive us. God is in control. Or Psalm 9, which says, the Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee. Joseph was protected in the process, and Joseph prospered. The key phrase is how he prospered. How do you prosper? How do you bring to successful completion what God wants to do? Getting it down to the practical for all those workers with VBS, what is it that will help us to prosper during this next week? Prosper in terms of seeing God's will done, seeing God's plan and God's purpose for what He wants to do with us and with the boys and girls that He allots to our charge this week, that He's preparing even now for what He has prepared you to share. What is it that brings prosperity? How do you prosper? How do you bring it to successful completion? Let me give you a few passages of Scripture that will give the answer. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 30. Part of it will be on the screen, but turn in your Bible or your iPad or whatever you have with you with the Scriptures. Look at Deuteronomy 30, verses 9 and 10. And notice carefully what the words tell us about how to prosper. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as He rejoiced over your father. Watch the words now. If you obey the Lord your God, to keep His commandments and His statutes which are written in this book of the law. If you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. How do we prosper? Deuteronomy 30 verses 9 and 10 encourage us to keep His commandments, to obey His word. As we saw earlier, to know and to do and to show, even as Ezra did. Or turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 13. Then you shall prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the ordinances which the Lord commanded Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be fearful or be dismayed. Prosperity comes when we observe the statutes and the ordinances. Kind of says the same thing, just in different words, as we saw in Deuteronomy. But if you want to get a little different perspective, just slip over to 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 20, where we see it from the negative side, where we learn of those who do not prosper. When we do not prosper, 2 Chronicles 24, verse 20, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? What is it that produces a situation of not prospering? Transgressing the commandments. Sin. Not doing what the Lord says, or doing what the Lord says don't do. It covers both sides. And so we see from this that on the negative side, those who do not prosper because they disobey the word. Or finally, look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But to he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. What words of encouragement to show us as it tells us about how Joseph prospered, how his master saw that he prospered, and how the house where he ministered was blessed through his being prospered. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 37, it says, "From this place also you should go out with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected those in whom you trust, and you shall not prospect, or not prosper with them." Again, from the negative side, Jeremiah reminds us that the Lord rejects those who are trusting things that are contrary to His Word, and we will not prosper. So we've seen Joseph protected. We've seen Joseph prospered. But then notice in verses 3 through 6 what it did for Joseph. As we see Joseph promoted. Again, observe first of all that his master saw that God was with him. It was obvious. And I have to think back over the years and remember each year there have been some things that have happened in VBS, and it was obvious that God was at work. Even through some of the difficult moments and things that just look tragic and it's not going to work, or this is not happening, or we've had this extra burden, or we don't have this, or whatever. And yet God has brought a prospering as we've trusted Him. And it becomes obvious. This is a work of the Lord. This is not something that men have pulled off. And Joseph's master saw that God was with him. And it says that Joseph found favor, therefore, in Potiphar's sight. We do not see any record of Joseph requesting favors from Potiphar. But it does show that he earned the right to be respected and trusted the old-fashioned way, through his integrity and his faithfulness. So I say to you fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, stay true to God's Word. Stay with a life of integrity and faithfulness, and God will bring prosperity in your family and in your life. Observe again that we're not told what Joseph did. It's what we do. It's not what we do that's so crucial. It's what we allow God to do through us. The Lord was with him. It was so obvious that the Lord was with him that further others saw that the Lord was with him. And as a result of the Lord's being with him, blessing came to the whole household because of Joseph. You may not realize it, VBS workers, but as we come to the end of this next week, and we come to worship next Sunday, we can look back and see how God has worked, and when we do, it will bless our congregation. Amen? And it will minister to hearts far beyond what we could ever imagine when the Lord is allowed to do what He wants to do. Think back to Ezra 7 again. I've mentioned it already twice. It's a good series of thoughts for dads and granddads and great-granddads and for VBS workers and for all the rest of us. It covers us all. The good hand of God was upon Ezra, Ezra 7:9 says. And then it gives the reason in Ezra 7:10. For Ezra set his heart to know what the law says, then to practice what the word says, and then to teach others what the word says. Or to put it in practical words, Ezra 7:10 encourages us to know Him and His Word, to do that Word, and then to show it, to live it. When others saw that the Lord was with him, when it was obvious to the master that the Lord was with him, repeatedly you see in this passage, the Lord was with him. And when that took place, things began to happen, and they were ministered to, and it demonstrated the grace and the power and the love of God. Joseph was protected. Joseph was prospered. Joseph was promoted. But there's another factor. And Joseph was propositioned. You know, with increased responsibility and with increased privileges comes special vulnerability. We'll see how Joseph will handle this situation in more detail next time. But for right now, let's notice that Joseph had been prospered because of his walking in God's Word, doing it, teaching it, and sharing it with others. In this passage, we see him protected. We see Joseph prospered by the hand of God because of his walk with God. We discover Joseph promoted to a great position. So much so that Potiphar left everything in his charge. He didn't concern himself with anything except the food he ate. All he could think about was dinner time. He entrusted everything else to Joseph because he saw that the Lord had prospered him. And then Joseph was prospered. Now, what does all of that say to you and me? Whether we're working in VBS or not, whether we're still gainfully employed or not, in terms of our day-to-day lives, what does it say to us? Let me just share a couple of important lingering lessons. Simply put, bloom where you're planted. Here's a picture in all the rocks of that beautiful yellow flower that's glowing. I'll never forget hearing a man by the name of James Reese, a pastor in Canada, graduate of Bryan College up in Dayton, Tennessee, and a songwriter as well as being a pastor. But even more than that, he had a mentally challenged son. And he ministered to him, shared the gospel, and as far as it could be told with his disabilities and other problems, he did trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And he became aware of the fact that he had shortcomings. He couldn't be employed like everybody else. He couldn't go to the regular schools like everybody else. And yet God prospered this young man in a very significant way. And Pastor Reese wrote a song called Bloom Where You're Planted. Listen to its words and think about it in relation to our own personal lives. The patch in which you're planted may have its thorns and weeds. The ground that you've been granted may have its rocks and reeds. The slope on which you're slanted may all have gone to seed, but bloom where you're planted for the Lord. Bloom where you're planted. God's sun still shines above. Bloom where you're planted. He showers you with love. Weeds may grow and winds may blow, but keep your head up high. And bloom where you're planted. Keep growing toward the sky. The place where God has put you can be a perfect place. The pace that He's intended is just a perfect pace. The grace that He will give you is all-sufficient grace. So bloom where you're planted for the Lord. On the signed copy of the music that Mr. Reese gave to me, and I was at pastor's conference a number of years ago in Chicago, on the front cover sheet he put Isaiah 12:2. Turn to that passage and notice its words. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. So bloom where you're planted. It would be easy for some of you to say, you know, I'm assigned to this area for VBS this week. I'd rather be bloom where you're planted. God's sun still shines on you. Bloom where you're planted. The place that He's placed you is just where He wants you to be. So bloom where you're planted. But secondly, make time to study God's Word daily and put it into practice. Over and over as you read through this little passage, as we've looked at it this morning, you see those repeated words really coming, shining through in terms of practical application. To know the Word, to do the Word, to show the Word, to live it for His glory and for His praise. And the third lingering lesson that comes after we know the Word, to do it and to show the Word, we have to be ready and alert for temptations. What do we do in those temptations? Well, here comes that little phrase again, to be continued. That comes in the next passage. And it's just as practical. But it's built on the foundation of these lessons that we learn from Genesis chapter 39. From the life of Joseph. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, thank You for the practical words of Genesis and the practical insights we can learn from the life of Joseph. I pray that we may personally, each one, take to heart what Your Word wants to say to us for the place where we're planted, for where the Lord has placed us, with a perfect plan laid out before us. Prepare us, Father, to be those who are willing to commit to knowing Your Word, to doing it, and to sharing it with others, to live it in a way that powerfully shows Your hand at work. And again, we pray for this week of activities with Vacation Bible School. We know that You are preparing hearts of boys and girls to be here for what You have prepared our leaders to share, to teach, and to lead. And we pray that we as leaders may be those who are willing to allow You to work in ways that will honor and glorify You. For we love You, Father. We thank You. And we praise You as we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen and amen.